Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, if it's Monday, it's time for Manager Tips, Tools, and Rules. I'm Kevin Cruz, and we know one-on-one meetings are the most powerful tool in a manager's toolbox. And today, we're going to explore the who, when, and where aspects of these critical meetings. But first, have you told all of your managers, your friends at work about LeadX.org? We offer free training every single day. There's a new free training video on topics like giving feedback, how to delegate, running effective meetings, and mastering your email inbox, how to cut down email by 50%. That's a 50. Just visit LeadX.org. Check out the free video of the day. So let's dive in. Weekly one-on-ones are a powerful way to maintain alignment, productivity, and employee engagement. So who are you holding them with? Very simple. You're going to hold them with all of your direct reports. If someone directly reports to you, you should be doing these one-on-one meetings with them. Now, the key word here is direct report. This doesn't mean your entire downline. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've got 40 people on my team. I run this inside sales call center. I can't meet with all 40 of my people. This is dumb. Well, I'm guessing that if you have 40 people on your team in your downline, they probably don't all directly report to you. And if they do, you've got an organizational design problem, but that's for another show. You probably have 3 or 4 or 5 sales managers that help guide the 40 people on your team. Now, maybe you call them managers. Maybe they're called supervisors. Maybe they're called leads. Like sometimes there's a programmer lead, a technical lead, a sales lead. Maybe they're called mentors, you know, whatever internally you call them. But probably if you've got a huge amount of people on your team, you have a layer of management between you and them. So it's these managers, the people that directly report to you, that you're going to want to hold these O3 meetings with. And those people who directly report to you, they in turn should be holding weekly one-on-ones with their direct reports. So you don't need to do them all. You do them just with that layer that reports to you, and you teach and empower your managers how to do it with their people. So you want to schedule a one-on-one meeting with each direct report once a week. These meetings are weekly. Ideally, you just make this a recurring appointment on your calendar and your counterpart's calendar. You know, just set it up. I am gonna meet with Sang every Monday from 10 to 10:25. And I'm gonna make this a weekly recurring meeting on both of our calendars. Now, here's the thing. The reason why O3 meetings scheduled are way more powerful than management by walking around, MBWA, popularized by Tom Peters, and you know, it's a good idea to do MBWA. But the power in the one-on-ones is that because they're scheduled, your direct reports know they are coming up. It gives them time to think about topics to discuss. It gives them time to prepare. You know, if you're my boss and you're just randomly walking around this afternoon and stop in my office or stop by my desk, hey, how's it going, Kevin? What's going on? I didn't know you were coming over. I'm not prepared. We're not in private. I might be in the middle of an important thing I'm trying to get done. So this is the key. You make them recurring and you schedule them on the calendar. And you don't blow them off, or at least not easily. I mean, sure, you know, things happen. So it's not the end of the world if you've got to reschedule or cancel. But it should be rare because you don't want to send the signal to your team that these meetings really aren't important, that you wish you weren't doing them, or that they aren't important, or that it's more important to meet with your boss than with them. And while that might be true from an execution standpoint, it's certainly not true from an employee engagement standpoint. So anyway, once a week on your calendar, and you rarely change them. Now, again, reading your mind, you're probably thinking, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't, you know, I see my people all the time. I've got a great relationship with them. I don't need to do this weekly. I'll do it every couple of weeks or once a month. Here's the thing. If you are in a big, slow growing company, maybe you can get away with a slower cadence, you know, a slower, longer meeting rhythm, because not a lot is changing. Not a lot is going on. Things are moving at a slower pace. And if that's where you are, be very, very careful, because it sounds like you're working for a dinosaur who's going to get put out, acquired, shut down. You could be on a layoff list. I'm not joking. We are working in an environment that is moving so fast, so dynamic. So many things are changing in every single industry that meeting weekly is a way for us to keep up with this change. It's a way for us to be resilient all of the time. And if you think your world's not moving that fast, well, maybe you should be driving your team faster, and you can do these weeklies to make your team a little bit better than the team down the hall. You can stand out a little bit more than all those other managers that you're vying for the next promotion when you're driving your team at a quicker pace. Practically speaking also, I think most people think of their work in terms of a week. Whether, you know, maybe we groan as we wake up Monday and think, oh gosh, another work week. But we often think about Monday is the first day of the week. Wednesday is hump day, middle of the week. Friday, thank God it's Friday. You know, we slow it down as we go into the weekend, or maybe it's our busiest day as we try to finish things up and make that FedEx pickup so we can relax over the weekend. You know, whatever it is, whatever your pace is, most of us psychologically break our work, our schedule, our tasks into weeks. So the only time I would say that you want to do it every other week would be if you truly have more than 10 direct reports. Again, I hope you don't. It's not great for engagement or productivity. If you have more than 10 people reporting to you, it's difficult to be a great leader. But that's another topic. If you do have more than 10 direct reports, then yes, doing more than 5 hours of meetings every single week just on O3s can be very impractical with all the other stuff you got to get done. So in that case, I would say you can move it to a bi-weekly schedule where you're going to meet with half of your team this week, and then next week you meet with the other half, and then you repeat that process. But anything longer than that, monthly, it's not the same. You don't build the relationship. You don't keep that cadence and that rhythm going, that speed. And quite frankly, you know, if you keep this weekly rhythm, the meetings tend to be short, even shorter than the 25 minutes, because, you know, you are moving at a fast pace. It's not like there's a lot of things for you to catch up on. Now, when it comes to like which day of the week, when during the week should you hold your one-on-ones, that's not as important as just hold them weekly. The day of the week isn't as important, but I will say that personally, I'm partial to doing all of my meetings on Monday. In fact, I've got a little mantra: Mondays are for meetings. I try to stack as many of my internal meetings on Mondays. And believe me, like I don't enjoy these meetings. I don't like meeting with people. You know, I'm a type A driver, introvert. I want to have my head down in my office, door closed, focused on work. But I do these meetings because I understand their power. And on Monday, I feel like this is the start of the week. So I want to kick off the week. I want to kind of huddle up with the team and do a check-in so that I know exactly what are they working on, like what are their priorities, what's on their mind, and how can I help? Like, how are we going to win the week? Like, not just get through the week, not muddle through the week, not stray 1 degree off course each day, which means we're 5% off course by Friday and 10% the next week if we haven't met with them. No, we are going to course correct and figure out how to win the week. And that starts on Monday. And for me, as painful as Monday is, heck, Tuesday through Friday is a dream. There are almost no internal meetings. I've eliminated the got a minute, Kevin? Those go away completely. And there's fewer fires to put out. So the rest of the week is great. Now, how long should these one-on-one meetings go for? 25 minutes. That is the answer. You could schedule 30 if you want, but they're 25 minutes. So why not shorter? You need to calendar enough time so that your direct report doesn't feel rushed. Like it's not just rattling off 5 bullet points and racing out of the room. You know, you want to make it long enough to sit down and do a little bit of rapport, you know, break the ice, some rapport building, some relationship building, and to dig into an issue if there is one to dig into. And look, a lot of my weekly one-on-ones don't take the 25 minutes. You know, sometimes there's not a lot to talk about and the meeting is done in 10 minutes. Well, that's great. Then that's found time, right? Now you've got, you know, all that time back until your next meeting to do whatever it is you want to do. That's not a bad thing. But why not longer than 25 minutes? Like, why not an hour? So there's two reasons. First of all, if you are sticking to your weekly schedule, it's going to be rare that you need a full hour to get caught up on all the things that are going to be in a one-on-one agenda. You might have a separate project meeting or something else to talk about. But in terms of an O3 agenda, as long as you're doing these weekly check-ins, like your fingers on the pulse of the organization weekly, you just aren't going to have an hour worth of material to dive into. The other reason is if you schedule these for an hour or longer, you are far more likely to cancel or reschedule them week to week. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I've got an hour scheduled with Vanya. It's just too much time. Vanya, I'm going to blow you off until next week. And so there's just something magic about that 25 minutes where it's like, oh, I'm so busy today, but let me just do this weekly one-on-one. It's only 25 minutes, probably going to be less. Come on, Vanya, let's bang this out. So that's why. Oh, and why is it, why do I keep saying 25 minutes instead of 30 minutes? Why not just an even half hour? This is really just a silly reason in my mind. Well, it's not silly. It's important, but it's quirky. I think in today's business culture, we have so many meetings, so many phone calls that people get, you know, literally back-to-back meetings or even overlapping meetings all throughout the day. And the problem is, when you're in a meeting from 1 to 2 and from 2 to 3 and from 3 to 4, you're always showing up to meetings late. Because if you're physically in the building, you need to walk out of one conference room and find the other or leave your office and go to the next. And even phone calls, you're going to find, you know, if they go to the minute, top of the hour, you hang up on one phone call, you got to jump on another. And, you know, your assistant handed you some note about an emergency. Someone's tapping on your door saying, I only need a minute. A big email came in that you need to address. So you spend 5 minutes taking care of these little things, and now you're late for your phone call. And that's just chain reaction. So as a matter of professional courtesy, as a practice that's going to make your people love you as a leader, when you hold a one-hour meeting, you end it at 55 minutes. If you're holding a 30-minute meeting, you end it at 25 minutes. That final 5 minutes is just flow time. It lets them get from one meeting to the next, or they can pull out their phone and do a quick email check. I know that's not a great productivity process, but that is what most people do. So if you give them 5 minutes back at the end of every meeting, you are going to be a superhero. Last topic for today, where should you hold your one-on-one meetings? It's really simple, just anywhere that's relatively private. If you've got an office with a door, fine, do it in your office. If you don't, do it in a conference room. If the conference rooms are all booked up, do it in a cubicle, but assuming that like there's so much chatter and background noise that nobody's really going to be overhearing your normal, you know, conversation, your normal volume of a conversation. It's not that O3s are usually dealing with confidential information. In fact, most of it should be fully transparent. You know, you're going to find out next week. It's a lot of it is about goals and objectives and status and how you can help. These are things that everybody will be talking about and should be talking about together. But especially for relationship building and when there are sensitive problems, you want your direct report to be comfortable. And, you know, some people just might not be willing to talk about the fun stuff they did over the weekend when they know there's 10 other people around listening in, or they might not want to, you know, complain to you about someone else on the team if that person's in the queue next door. So anyway, anywhere that is kind of private, you know, it could be cafeteria meeting or something like that, just away from, you know, other people overhearing the sensitive stuff. That is it for today's show. Next Monday, I'm going to give you the perfect 03 agenda.